This is a family service, so for those of you who are visitors, and I know we have a few, once a month we keep all of our kids in the service, and we try to do something that is for all ages, and so that's what I'm going to attempt to do this morning. And I have a few helpers, we have a few of these, it's called My Worship Notes, and it's for kids, and if you want to hand these out, a few of them, I think my girls have them, and Eileen. So if you're a kid or a kid at heart, you get one of these little blue papers, and you can write down the songs that we sang, your favorite song. Oh, there's even like a bingo game in here for every time you hear a certain word in the sermon. That's fun. We play that at graduation every year at school. Anyways, that's another story. Writing down lessons, draw a picture, whatever you want. So there's a few of these coming out, and if you have pens, great, and if not, you can probably get them from your parents or at the back. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to tell a story, because stories work for all ages. Kids like stories, and I like stories, and older folks like stories. And so this morning, oh, we've got it there. I'm going to do my best to tell you this story. Yeah, we got time here. We got lots of time. And then at the end, we're going to have a little bit of a sharing time if we've got 5 minutes at the end. And so this is for kids and for adults and everyone. After this story this morning, if there's something that you feel like you can share with this congregation, you get to share something that God spoke to you or something that you really liked about this story this morning. So keep that in your minds. At the end of this morning, we'll have a little bit of a sharing time. So this morning, we are going to tell the story of Peter. We're going to do the life of Peter, not Peter Braun, because he honked at me rudely in the parking lot this morning. So we're going to do the Apostle Peter instead. Thankfully, I had this backup here instead. And we're going to look at some lessons. We're going to look at 7 lessons out of the life of Peter. Why 7? Because 7 is a touchdown, and the Bombers need a few touchdowns today. So we're going to try to spur them along here with our little bit of a lesson. And we're going to see in Peter's life a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And so I basically just want to walk you through this man's life. He's a really interesting guy, and he's a lot like us adults. He's a lot like you kids. He makes mistakes, some really big ones, and he gets things right sometimes, some really big ones, and he's kind of up and down. So we're going to look at Peter's life, and Peter is from this little town called Bethsaida. And if you've ever been to Bethsaida, put up your hand, because I know there's a few of you. Roger, I'm sure you've been there, Tim and Bethany. And a few of you are going to go to Bethsaida this year. But it's a little town, just a couple miles from the Sea of Galilee. And this is where Peter grew up with his brother Andrew, and maybe a few other brothers and sisters, and his family. And when he got a little bit older, Peter moved to Capernaum. And this is where Jesus lived when he was doing ministry too. And so Capernaum is a nice little town right on the water. And that's really convenient for Peter, because Peter was a fisherman. And this was a good place to fish. I know any of you kids ever gone fishing with your mom or dad? Yeah? I've taken my kids fishing. We have not done great. Because you need to have a good spot. And this is a good spot to fish, because there's springs in the Sea of Galilee that come underneath. And in wintertime, when the water's cold, there's 4 of these warm water springs, and all the fish gather around the warm water. And so it's a really good place to fish. And in summertime, when the water gets hot, there's 5 cold springs in another area, and so the fish gather around there. So that was a really good place to fish. And so Peter had a good job. He was a fisherman. Fishermen were not poor people. They were kind of average guys. It was a pretty good job to have. And Peter and his brother Andrew, they were fishing. And if you ever wonder what kind of boat they go fishing in, it didn't have a 50-horse Honda on the back. It might have looked like this. This is a boat that in 1986, the Sea of Galilee, the water went down. They had a big drought, and the water went down a long ways. And what it revealed, so the mud that was there, they saw this boat sticking up. And they only had a couple weeks to take this boat out of the water because the water was starting to come up again. So they spray foamed it and did all this kind of stuff, got a crane, and they got it out of the water. And they found that this boat is actually right from the time of Jesus. So there is a chance that this very boat, which is right on the North Sea of Galilee, is actually Peter's boat. Maybe a one in a couple hundred chance, but there's a chance. And it's 27 feet long and 8 feet wide. And this is the kind of boat that Peter would have spent every day in of his life, just fishing away, often fishing at night. And maybe a little picture of what it would have looked like when it was all together. This was Peter's life. He was a fisherman, and it was a pretty good job. He got to work with his brother. He got to work with his dad. And it was a good life for him. And we're not exactly sure how Peter met Jesus. We know that Peter's brother Andrew was down south along the Jordan River where John the Baptist was baptizing, and he found Jesus, and he came running back and told his brother Peter, "We found the Messiah." And we know another time, Peter was fishing in his boat like this, and Jesus said, "I need a boat to teach in. You know, if you teach on the water, your voice travels a lot further." And so Jesus picked Peter's boat, and he got in Peter's boat, and he taught. And then when he was done teaching, he said, "Peter, let down your net." And Peter's like, "Man, we fished all night, Jesus." And he says, "I'll do it anyways." And he put down his net, and he pulled up a whole net full of fish. And then another time, Jesus was walking along the beach, and there was Peter and Andrew with their father fixing their nets. And Jesus said two little words to Peter that changed his life. He said, "Follow me." And that meant that Jesus wanted Peter not just to follow him down the beach, but to follow him for as long as it would take, to be one of his disciples. And you know, nobody had ever picked Peter before. Any of the other rabbis, any of the other teachers, when they picked their disciples, nobody ever picked Peter. I don't know if you ever had that feeling in gym class or at recess of not being picked. But Peter was one of those guys who didn't get picked. And Jesus came along and he picked him. And it changed his life. He had no idea what was to come, but it turned out to be the best decision of his life. So there's Jesus picking Peter, coming off the beach. The first lesson from Peter's life: say yes, be obedient, figure the rest out later. And Jesus, when he called Peter, he didn't say, "Okay, Peter, here's what's going to happen if you say yes. We're going to go through all this stuff. It's going to be amazing. Then it's going to be really bad, and I'm going to get crucified, and then later on, you're going to get crucified too," and all this stuff. He didn't know all that. If Peter knew that, he probably wouldn't have come. But all he knew was that Jesus was calling. And so he said yes, and he said, "I'll figure out the rest later." There's a good lesson for us in that. From there, Peter lives in Capernaum. And Peter was married. And so the disciples, we don't know how old they were. A lot of them were kind of probably that 18, 20 years old, somewhere in there. James and John seem like they're the youngest ones. Peter was maybe the oldest one. Peter was maybe in his 20s. Peter was maybe even in his 30s. He might have even been as old as Jesus. So he was married, and we don't know what happened to his wife. Maybe his wife died. Maybe she's still there, and they just didn't talk about her. But he had a mother-in-law. And the Gospels tell an interesting story of Jesus teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And that synagogue, the foundation, is still there. You can stand in the exact same spot where Jesus was. And it says he went straight out of the synagogue into Peter's house, and his mother-in-law was there, and she was sick, and Jesus healed her. So would you like to see what Peter's house looks like? This is actually, like 99% sure, Peter's house. Now, it looks like a nice big house, but I'll tell you, that's not all his house. Peter's house is that little circle in the middle. That was his house where he lived with his mother-in-law. And so kids, you're maybe looking at that saying, "That's as big as my bedroom." You're right. It is as big as your bedroom. But houses were very small back then. And we found, as if I was an archaeologist, they found all sorts of markings on the wall that showed that this very early on became a house of worship. And it is straight down the street from the synagogue, just like the Gospels say. Now you're wondering, what are those other walls around there? Well, those are the remains of a church that was built in about the 3rd century to mark this spot, because this was a special holy spot where Peter's house was. So we're 99% sure that's actually the house that Peter lived in. It would have been a little taller and had a roof and all those sorts of things. But that's where Peter lived. And he walked with Jesus for a few years. And Peter saw all kinds of things, lots of miracles. He saw blind guys get to see. In Capernaum, he had one time a centurion came up to Jesus and said, "You know, my servant is sick." And Jesus said, "Do you want me to come and heal him?" And the guy says, "No, just say the word and he'll be healed." And Jesus just said it. And the guy came back later and he said he was healed. There was a woman that was sick for 12 years. And there was a whole bunch of people crowding around Jesus. And Peter was there too. And this woman came up and just touched Jesus's shirt. And she was healed. And Peter was right there. And he saw it happen right before his eyes. And then they walked from there to the house of a 12-year-old girl who had died. 12-year-old girl. That's a sad thing. And Jesus says to Peter and James and John, he says, "You three guys, come with me. I want to show you something." And so Peter takes those three into the house where the little girl is. And Jesus talks to this little girl, and they're all crying and weeping. And Jesus says, "Stop crying." And he says, "Little girl, get up." And the little girl gets up. And Peter was right there, and he saw it. And that was just amazing. He saw all kinds of people with demons in them get cast out. And every time someone came to Jesus who had a demon, doesn't matter how big the problem was, it was never too big for Jesus. And Jesus just said, "Get out of that person," and it would get out. Jesus saw the loaves and the fishes, right? Remember that story? They're up there with thousands of people, and they're all hungry. And they don't have anything to eat. But Peter's brother, Andrew, brings this little boy to Jesus. And he says, "Jesus, it's not much, but this little boy's got a couple loaves and a couple of fish. It's nothing for 5,000 people, but it's this." And Andrew did a really good thing there. And Jesus turned that into lots and lots of food. And probably the most amazing thing that Peter ever saw Jesus do was one time they were on the water in their little boat that we saw before. And it's not a very big boat. And you imagine 12, 13 people in a boat like that, and a storm came up. And I've been on the Sea of Galilee when a storm comes up, and it comes up really quick. And we were in a boat that was probably almost as long as this room, and we had to turn around and go back. And these guys were in a storm, and it was scary. And Jesus was asleep because he was tired, because he had just fed 5,000 people, and he was teaching nonstop, and he was a person, and he got tired. And they woke him up and said, "Jesus, we're going to die. Don't you care?" And then Peter saw the most amazing thing he'd ever seen. He'd never seen anybody do this before. Jesus got up, he woke up, and then he talked to the waves, and he talked to the wind. And normally people don't talk to water or inanimate objects, but Jesus did, and he said, basically, "That's enough. Calm down." And the whole thing was calm. And the disciples thought that was about the most amazing thing they had ever seen. Lesson 2, hang around Jesus for a while. You'll see some cool stuff. Peter had a front row seat for all of these things that Jesus did. He was right there with him, always there right beside Jesus seeing this. He saw what it looked like for Jesus to have the whole Holy Spirit on his life and doing what he could through the Holy Spirit. From there, Jesus kept teaching, and Peter got to hear the inside story. So Ruth read a couple of parables this morning about the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field or like a pearl. And Jesus would tell all these stories to people, and the people wouldn't always understand them, and the disciples usually didn't understand them either. But then Jesus would take them aside later on, and he would explain it all to them. And he would say, they'd say, "Jesus, what do you exactly mean about it being like a treasure?" And then Jesus would explain it. So Peter got a lot of teaching from Jesus that we don't get in the Gospels. All kinds of stuff that Jesus told Peter that we don't get to hear about. And then we have Peter's most famous story. Oh, there's Jesus teaching. Forgot about that one. And it's just a really fun story. And it's the one story that we all learn about Peter. when they're out, this is right after they fed the 5,000 people. And that was in Peter's hometown of Bethsaida, by the way. And they go across, and it's nighttime, and they're on their little boat, and they're rowing away. And it's really hard because the wind is pushing against them, and they're rowing really hard. And they're taking their turns, and this guy rows for a while, and then this guy rows. And one of them looks way out there, and he sees something on the water in the moonlight that kind of is peculiar. And he keeps watching it. He says, "Do you see that?" And the guy says, "Yeah, I see that." And they're looking, "What is that?" And all of a sudden, one of them realizes what it is. It's a ghost. And they're all terrified. And so they start rowing harder to get away from this ghost. I'm adding a little bit. It's not all in the story. And the ghost keeps coming closer and closer. And they're getting terrified and they're freaking out. And all of a sudden, the ghost talks to them. And the ghost says, "It's me, Jesus. Relax, guys." And I don't know if they exactly relaxed or not. But Peter pipes up and Peter says, "If it's really you, Jesus, then tell me to get out of the boat and I'll walk on water." Kind of a little test to see if this ghost is really a ghost or whether this ghost is really Jesus. And then Jesus says one word to Peter. He says, "Come." So Peter's in that little boat that we saw and he's sitting on the side there. And he swings his legs over onto the other side. And I don't know if you've ever sat on the side of a boat where the bottom of your feet just kind of touches the water. If you've done that, you're not walking on water. Your butt's still sitting on the boat. And that's kind of where Peter was, I think. And looking at Jesus and wondering, okay, am I really going to do this or not? And probably some of the disciples are saying, "Peter, don't do it. Like, just stay where you are." And Peter says, "No, I'm going to do it." And then there comes a point where Peter has to lift himself up off the boat and stands. And I don't know what it felt like for him. The ground was moving, right? Because there's waves. And so he's going up and down, but he's standing and he's looking at Jesus. And he starts to walk, like I think in like a little baby kind of thing, because it's the ground is moving. I don't know what that would have been like. And all these waves are there. And I know people who've healed people. I know people who've cast out demons. I know people who've raised people from the dead. I don't know anybody who's ever walked on water. You know someone other than Peter? What? 6 months of the year. There's always a wise guy in the group. That's not water, that's ice. But Peter walks on water. He is the only person, and if you have other stories, let me know. I've never heard of anybody else walking on water. And Peter does it and he walks on water. And it is the greatest moment. And all the disciples are back in the boat saying, "Look at Peter, he's walking on water." They're all excited. And then we know the second half of the story. Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus and he sees the waves. And as soon as he does, he starts to sink. And as soon as he starts to sink, the Bible says Jesus immediately reached out his hand and saved him. And he pulls Peter up. What the Bible doesn't tell us is how they got back to the boat. There's two options. Either Jesus picked up Peter like a little baby and carried him back to the boat, or he pulled Peter out of the water and Jesus and Peter walked back to the boat. I don't know what happened. I'm guessing the second one. I'm guessing that he actually walked on water again. And they get back to the boat, and Jesus had a little nickname for his disciples. It was small faith, little faith. Oh, small faiths, why didn't you guys believe? But Peter did. He took a risk. Lesson number three, be willing to take a risk. It's the only way to walk on water. And I know that all of us in this room have stories of our life of times where we've had to take a risk where we didn't know what was going to happen and Jesus came through and we walked. The next story from Peter's life is pretty big. Jesus takes his disciples on a long walk, a six-day walk, and they're a long ways away from home. And they come into a region called Caesarea Philippi. And Caesarea Philippi is a place known for lots of different gods that people worshipped. And so if you see, this is it today, you see all those little niches carved into the rock. Those were all places where they had different idols of different gods. There's a really big one. There's another one atop of it. There's a number of them. And so this was a place that people went to worship all kinds of other gods. It was not a place where Jews went. And they come to this place, and this is where Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? What's the word on the street? What are people saying about me? And the disciples answer, some think you're John the Baptist, some think you're Elijah or one of the prophets, all these different things. And then Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And none of the other disciples answer. We don't know what they think. But Peter answers, and he says, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he gets it right. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but your heavenly Father. So he got the right answer. And Peter's feeling pretty good about himself because he's like, yeah, I got the right answer. And then Jesus says, and now you are Peter. So first his name was Simon, then he renamed him Peter, which means the rock, which is a pretty cool nickname. If Jesus gave me a nickname, I don't think he'd call me the rock. He'd probably call me the beanpole or something like that. But he calls Peter the rock. You are the rock. And on this rock, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. You cannot get a higher compliment in life than Jesus calling you blessed and you're the rock and I'm going to build my church on you. And so Peter took a chance in that what he said, and he said, you're the Messiah. And Jesus says, you are right. And Peter at this moment is the hero. And I don't think the disciples are looking at Jesus at this point. I think they're looking at Peter saying, wow, Peter, you got it. Like, that's amazing. They're probably jealous too. And he's going to be the one that they build the church on. And right after that, Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to die. That he's going to suffer all kinds of things. He's going to die, and 3 days later, he'll be raised. And the disciples are talking about this with each other. They're saying, did you hear what Jesus was saying before about him dying? Yeah, that's not right, because the Messiah is never going to die. He's going to start a new kingdom. Okay, so what's Jesus thinking? He must be crazy. Okay, what? This can't be right. Peter says, I'll talk to him, guys. So Peter goes over and talks to Jesus and says, Jesus, this is never going to happen to you. You are never going to die. And he's thinking he's going to be 2 for 2 on the exam. But he goes from being the hero to being the zero. And Jesus says, stop it. Stop it, Peter. You don't have a clue what God is doing. You think you're being godly, you're being satanic. Get out of my way. So he goes from being the only guy being praised by Jesus to the only guy who gets yelled at by Jesus. I used to get yelled at by my high school principal. It was terrifying. I can't imagine getting yelled at by Jesus, but he did. Jesus was not happy with Peter at this moment. Everything Peter was saying was the exact opposite of what Jesus was trying to do, and Jesus had to be pretty firm with Peter and say, we're not going down this road at all. So Jesus is probably pretty mad at Peter, but he doesn't stay mad for too long. They start walking back 6 days later, and they come to a really high mountain. This might be it, Mount Tabor. It's probably the best guess. And they go up on this mountain, and Peter gets to go along with Jesus and James and John, just the four of them, and these four guys get to go up this mountain. It'd be a bit of a high hike. And they get up there, and Peter sees the most amazing thing he's ever seen in his life. When Jesus is up there, all of a sudden his face starts to shine like the sun, and his clothes become like light. Jesus becomes like a human light bulb, and there's just light coming out of him everywhere. And then Moses and Elijah come down out of heaven, and they're talking with Jesus. And Peter sees this, and it's the most cool thing he's ever seen in his entire life, and he doesn't know what to say, so he just says something, and he says, Jesus, this is really good. I'll build some houses, and you guys can stay here for a while. And God interrupts Peter. I don't know if you noticed that when you read this story, but God doesn't wait for Peter to stop talking. He's not that polite. He interrupts Peter and he says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Peter needed to hear that. Peter needed to hear once again, just like he did at the baptism, that Jesus is God's son and Peter needs to listen to him. Lesson number 4. Success failure and forgiveness are never that far apart. And we see this in Peter's life. He went from being top of the class, top of the school, the only person who got the exam question right, to being a total disgrace and a failure, and Jesus is yelling at him. And then Jesus forgives him and takes him up to see this really special sight, to see Moses and Elijah. Success, failure, and forgiveness are never that far apart. From here, everything heads towards the cross and Jesus dying on the cross. And Peter's trying to figure it out with all the disciples, and Jesus talks to them and says, you guys, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross too. And they end up at the Last Supper, and Jesus is talking to them about all these crazy things that they don't understand, about his blood being this blood and this wine and the bread and the body and all these sort of things, and they don't really figure it out at the time. And then they go out to a little Mount of Olives just outside of Jerusalem, and Jesus says, tonight, something really bad is going to happen to me. Something really bad is going to happen to me, and all you guys, all you 11 who are left, are all going to leave. And they all say, no, we'll never leave you, Jesus. We'll be with you forever. And Peter speaks up, and Peter says, even if the rest of these guys turn their back on you, I'll never turn my back on you, Jesus. I'll never turn my back on you, Jesus. And Jesus says, Peter, before the morning comes, before the rooster crows to tell us that it's morning, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter says, nope, you're wrong, Jesus. Even if I have to die, I'll never turn my back on you. And Jesus doesn't answer. Jesus lets Peter think what he thinks. Jesus knows what's going to happen. And then Jesus takes Peter and James and John with him again, and they go off into the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is what it looks like today. Some of these trees are old. Some will tell you they're as old as the time of Jesus. They're probably not that old, but 1,000 years old at least, some of these olive trees. And this is where Jesus goes. And he wants a quiet place to pray because he knows he's about to die. And so he leaves Peter, James, and John, and he goes over here and he prays to his father and he says, Dad, if there's any way to get me out of this, please get me out of it. And he comes back to Peter, and what is Peter doing? He's sleeping. Peter fell asleep on Jesus, his best friend, when he needed him more than anything. And Jesus says, couldn't you stay awake with me for an hour? And Peter says, I'm sorry, Jesus. And Jesus says, get up. Look, everyone's coming. And they come with a big mob. They've got torches, and they've got weapons and swords, and they come to arrest Jesus. And Peter knew something was coming. Fishermen and disciples do not usually carry swords with them. But Peter took a sword along tonight. He was afraid something might happen. And so all these bad guys come, and they want to take away Jesus. And Peter, he said he was going to stay with Jesus till he died, and sure enough, he's going to prove it. And he takes out his sword, and he says, you stay away from my friend Jesus. And he ends up chopping off a guy's ear. And Jesus, frustrated again, says, Peter, put your sword back. Don't you think if I could ask my Father in heaven for all these angels of armies would come? Put your sword away. And he goes and takes the guy, his name is Malchus, and he takes his ear and he puts it back on his head and heals him. And then all the disciples ran away. All the disciples ran away, including Peter. But Peter didn't run that far away. And they took Jesus away, and Peter followed at a distance. And they took Jesus into Caiaphas's house, the high priest, and they were questioning him and mocking him and abusing him and hitting him. And Peter came up to the door, and John was there too, and John let him in. And Peter was afraid for his life. He did not want what was going to happen to Jesus to happen to him, but he just couldn't leave Jesus at this time. And so he comes in, and a little girl comes up to Peter and says, weren't you with Jesus? And Peter says, no, I don't know who that guy is. No, I don't know who he is. I'm just here seeing what's happening. And a little bit later, another little girl comes up to Peter and says, you were with Jesus. I saw you. And Peter says, no, He says, I promise you, I've never met that guy in my life. I don't know who this Jesus guy is. I promise you. But he can't leave. He's still there. And a little bit later, someone else comes up and says, I can tell by the way you talk. You're from Galilee. You're one of Jesus's followers. And Peter loses it. And he's yelling and screaming and saying, I don't know who this guy is. He's cursing. He's swearing. He's doing everything he can to say, I don't know who that is. And at that moment, two things happened. A rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus. And Peter looked inside the house where Jesus was, and Jesus looked out through a window and saw Peter. And they made eye contact. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said. And it says, he went out and he wept bitterly. The one thing that he said he would never do, he did. Lesson number 5. Be thankful the story doesn't end here. If this was the end of Peter's life, it would be a miserable, sad story. And be thankful that your story doesn't end here either. We don't know what happened to Peter over the weekend, but it was the worst weekend of Peter's life. When Jesus needed him the most, he left him. He denied him. He said he wasn't even one of his followers. And here Jesus had died on the Friday, and Peter's gone off by himself. I'm sure he cried all weekend long. But we all know what happened on Sunday morning. Some women show up at the tomb, and it's empty. And Jesus shows up to these women and says, I'm here, I'm alive, go tell the disciples, and tell Peter too. It's interesting that Jesus says, tell the disciples and tell Peter. And so they go back and they tell the disciples, and Peter starts off running towards that tomb to see if it really is empty. And he's running, and John is also running, but John's a little younger and a little faster, and he runs and he gets to the tomb first. And John is there looking around, and he sees the empty tomb, and finally Peter comes, and he goes right inside the tomb, and he sees that it's empty. A little bit later after that, Jesus appears to the disciples. He shows up and says, I'm here, I'm alive, you can touch me. Thomas gets to touch his body and all these things. Jesus says, you know, I'll meet you up in Galilee. But we don't know what happens between Jesus and Peter. There's no conversation between the two of them. The last thing Peter remembers about seeing Jesus is when he denied him, the rooster crowed, and he saw Jesus' eyes looking out through the window. So they go back up north, back up to Galilee, and Peter says, I'm going to go fishing. Anybody want to come? And 6 other guys go with him, and they hop in their boat and they go fishing. That's what they were doing when this whole thing started, so that's where they go now. And they're out there fishing all night long, and they haven't caught anything. And in the morning, there's some guy on the beach. He says, you guys catch anything? They say, no, nothing tonight. He says, well, put your net on the other side of the boat. I'm like, okay, whatever, whoever this guy is. And they put their net down, and they pull up fish. So many fish that it's almost going to sink their boat, about 153 of them, to be precise. And something starts to click in their mind. They start to remember, this sounds familiar. Wait a minute. And they're looking, who is this guy on the shore? And John says to Peter, that's Jesus. That's Jesus on the shore. And Peter's response is incredible. Peter puts his shirt back on and he jumps in the water and he swims. Actually, the Bible says it was about 100 yards away. That's the length of a football field. It's a long way to swim. Peter didn't care about all the fish, all the money that he could make off those fish. He jumped in the water and swam. The direction that he swam is really important. Many of us, when we sin, we go away from God. We think that Peter would have jumped in the water and said, oh no, it's Jesus. If he sees me, he'll kill me. Jump in the water and swim out to sea and drown. But Peter knew Jesus, and so he jumps in the water and he swims towards Jesus. He gets to the shore, and Jesus is there, and he's got breakfast all laid out for them already. He's got his own fish and his own bread. And they sit down and they have breakfast, and nobody dared ask Jesus who he was because they knew. And after breakfast is over, Jesus turns to Peter. These two haven't talked. They had a pretty big falling out, if you might say. And now they're going to have a talk. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He says, then feed my sheep. And Peter asks, or Jesus asks Peter again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Jesus, you know I love you. He says, tend my lambs. Then a third time, Jesus asks Peter, Peter, do you love me? And at this point, Peter gets a little bit upset. And he says, Jesus, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Three times, Peter denied Jesus. And now Jesus gives Peter three chances to make it right. The final words that Jesus says to Peter are the first words that he said to Peter. Follow me. This whole thing started on a beach where Jesus says, follow me. This whole thing ends on a beach where Jesus says, follow me. Lesson number five, six, Jesus forgives. You know what Peter's punishment was for denying Jesus? Nothing. No punishment. No punishment, just forgiveness. And Peter did follow Jesus after that. He became the leader of the early church. That same Holy Spirit that was on Jesus, that gave him power to do all those things, came on Peter. He became their leader, their spokesman. He healed lame guys. He raised people from the dead. Just his shadow was enough to heal people. He went to prison, and he had a chance to deny Jesus again. And this time, he didn't deny Jesus. This time, he played it right. He got freed from prison. He told the gospel to Cornelius, who was the first non-Jew to believe in Jesus. That's all of us here today, I think, because of Peter. In the end, Peter following Jesus cost him. And Peter eventually was killed for being a Christian. And they took Peter to crucify him. And early church tradition tells us about this. And when they wanted to crucify him, Peter said, I am not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. And that's what happened. Peter was crucified upside down. And you'll see St. Peter's cross sometimes, which is simply an upside down cross. This is how Peter died. This was in Rome, and Peter was buried. And this is where he's buried. St. Peter's Basilica. So that big building with the dome on top, way down at the bottom, somewhere down there, is where the remains of the Apostle Peter are. And he's known today as the first pope of the Catholic Church, and he's known as St. Peter. Lesson number seven. Following Jesus may cost you everything, but a faithful life leads a legacy. That's the story of Peter. He's a guy a lot like you and a lot like me. He made some big mistakes. He had some big victories along the way. A little bit like a GPS. If you're ever driving in the city on your GPS and you get lost, there's never a point where your GPS says you can't get there from here. There's always another way to get to your destination. And that's a little bit like Peter and Jesus. And he gets so far off track sometimes, but there's always a way for him to come back. It's 2 minutes to 12. If anyone has something they want to share, I want to give you a couple minutes. Especially kids, if there was something in that story that you like about Peter, maybe I'll get a helper here. Someone wants to pass out a mic. I'll give you the lessons. Say yes, be obedient, figure out the rest later. Hang around Jesus for a while, you'll see some cool stuff. Be willing to take a risk. It's the only way to walk on water. Success, failure, and forgiveness are never that far apart. Be thankful the story doesn't end here. Jesus forgives. Following Jesus may cost you everything, but a faithful life leads a legacy. Anybody want to share, one or two people, just to share something from the story of the life of Peter that impacts you, something that that you think is really cool? Anyone in the whole church? If not, we won't. That's all right. Jesse's going to say something.
I think it's really cool the way Peter wasn't perfect. And sometimes I feel like I have to be or try to strive too hard and to be perfect. And we don't have to be, because as it showed over and over, that Jesus just, he disciplined, he loved, he kept on being the God that I think sometimes we confuse with not the way, I don't know how to say it. He's a God that just keeps loving us no matter what we feel. If we don't feel good enough, when we are not good enough, he just keeps loving us and teaching us and leading us if we let him. And so just to keep our eyes focused on him, and not only thinking he's a good God when he answers the prayers we want answered, but he's a good God just because, I mean, he loves us and he died for us. So.
Cool. Thanks, Jesse. Anyone else? All right. We won't push it beyond the breaking point. Let me pray for you and we'll go on for our day. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the life of Peter. Thank you for this man who was faithful to you. Thank you, Father, for how you forgave him over and over. And Father, I ask that his story would go with us this week, that in our low times we would remember we're not far away from forgiveness. And maybe when we get too full of ourselves, remember that we're not too far away from messing up either. It's just your grace that keeps us going. So thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for loving Peter. Thank you for being faithful to this man. Thank you for being faithful to us. You are a good Father. We love you, Father, and we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday afternoon.